In Jesus' name. Reading to you from the Word of the Lord this morning from Numbers chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Now, when you read that in the English Bible, the New Living Translation, it reads like this. When the Israelites set up camp, each tribe will be assigned its own area. The tribal divisions will camp beneath their family banner on all four sides of the tabernacle, but at some distance from it. So you get an idea of what the King James Version is saying there. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies, and Nashon the son of Abinadab shall be the captain over the children of Judah. And then when you drop down to verse 34 in Numbers chapter 2, it says, And the Lord of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward, everyone after their families. And so from that verse of Scripture, I'm going to draw my text. And so they set forward. And so they set forward. You can be seated. I hope I can put together what I'm feeling today in this place. I want to be a blessing to somebody. It matters which way we're going. It matters which direction that we're going in. And according to what I just read you, there wasn't a set, just a random, well, the tabernacle, we've set it up here and everybody just find a place to stay. God had order to what He wanted His children to do. And they set up around that tabernacle in the order that God had given to Moses for them to set up in. It mattered which way they were facing. It was important the direction that they were going. And for you and I, it matters which way we're facing. And it matters the direction that we are going. When we talk about repentance, repentance matters. Repentance is a turning around, an about face. Can you guys hear me? I can't hear myself real well, so I was making sure, and that may be a little too much. And when we talk about repentance, repentance matters. It's literally a turning around. It's an about face. It's going in one direction and turning and going the right direction. That's what repentance is. When a soldier marches in formation, you may have heard the leader of the soldiers say, repent. And there's a stopping and a turning around, a going in another direction. And so repentance is important for the Christian and the people who are going to try to walk with God. John came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came and preached repentance, or you shall perish likewise. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we turn from our wicked ways when we repent. Repentance is not godly sorrow where we cry over something wrong that we did and eventually go right back to it. Repentance is a turning away from and removing out of our lives. So it matters what direction that we are going. It matters the place that we are headed toward. And honestly, it really doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter where you've come from. What matters is where you're going now. The direction that you are going now. Your past and your circumstances and all the things that you have been through in your past really is not what's important. It's just a testimony of where God brought you from. You may have been rejected. You may have been abused. You may have been wounded in the house of your friends. You may have been a castaway like yesterday's bread tossed out the back door. You may have been talked about. You may have been run down. You may have even been taken advantage of. But that doesn't really matter. What matters is what are you going to do right now? Because you give your past to Jesus, and He desires to have a relationship with you and I. Paul said that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection, and even in the difficult parts of the fellowship of His suffering, that I might know Him. Ladies and gentlemen, it matters which way we are going. I don't know about you, but I want to be saved. And I know we all say we're saved, but we're in the process of being saved. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm on a journey to know Him. I'm looking for the maker of the building that has walls of jasper and gates of pearl. And they walk around on streets that are pure gold. And in that city, there's no sickness there. There's no sorrow there. And we'll lay our burdens down and we'll cast our crowns at His feet. And we'll drink from the waters of life and we'll eat from the tree of life. And Jesus is the light of that city. There's no need for no night and day because He is the light of that city. That's what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. We won't cry there. Our loved ones that have gone on before us that are died in Him will be in that city. That's what I'm looking for. There's no moon there because the Lamb will be the light of that place. And we're headed toward a door that we're going to go through. And that door is Jesus Christ. Praise God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. You can believe in Him and not be following Him. Satan believes in Him, but he don't follow Him. You can be a believer in God. I believe in the Lord. Well, I do too, but are you following Him? Satan believes in the Lord, but he doesn't follow Him. And we're headed somewhere. It matters which way you are facing. And God told Moses, you position them around the tabernacle where my glory dwells. I want you to position them there. And I want Judah at the eastern gate of that place. And there's specific order that I want you to be in around my presence and my glory because it matters which way you are going. And The Bible tells us where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I ask you this morning, which way are you facing? When the Israelites were finally free from the bondage and slavery of Egypt, they went out into the wilderness. Movement in the wilderness was predicated by the moving of the cloud. They didn't move unless the cloud moved. They had the cloud by day. The cloud by day wasn't there just to keep them from getting a sunburn. The fire by night wasn't there just to keep them warm when the coldness of the desert set down upon them. It was God's presence dealing with them. And God's presence leading them. And their movement was only predicated by the moving of the cloud by day and the fire by night. They stayed put until the glory moved. They didn't move until the glory moved. But when the glory moved, it was important which way they were going. Because they were given instruction, you follow the glory. And it is told by the historians that when we read the psalm that said, "Let the Lord arise and let his enemies be scattered," that when the glory would ascend off of that holy place, the priesthood would see that glory rising, and they would shout out through the camp, "Let the glory of the Lord arise and let his enemies be scattered." And it was that at that moment that they would begin to pack up their goods and their belongings and get ready to move where the glory moved. But it was important which way they were going. I want you to get this and think about yourself for a moment. It is important which way we are going. And I just know that I've got to be in God's will. Whatever God's will entails, you and I need to be in the will of God. Whatever He wants us to do, that's where we need to get to be. We need to put our flesh aside and say, "God, not my will, but thy will be done. Whatever you are wanting me to do, please let me be willing to put my flesh aside and follow the will of the Lord." Let's pray a minute. I want you to help me today. Hallelujah. Where are you going? I don't know. I just know that it is important that we follow the presence of the Lord. I wish that this church could get the concept. I've been here 11 years and it hadn't really changed that much, but I wish that this church could get the concept that our first 30 minutes of singing is not for entertainment. And some of you, I wonder if you don't like the music, you don't like who's singing the music, or you don't like the time that the music's taking because you just sit there and wait. It has never been intended to entertain us. It has always been intended to invite in the presence of the Lord so that we could worship the Lord. It doesn't matter if I get to preach or anybody else gets to preach. If God is in the house and God moves, are you willing to follow the moving of God's presence? So the Israelites were required by law to set their tents to face the house of God. We are increasingly in a world where God is pushed to the backside of everything. God has been pushed out of America, and we have taken away God out of every institution in this nation, and we are starting to reap the results of a godless society in the nation of America today, because God has been pushed out. But God never intended for us to push Him out of anything. He wanted us to position ourselves around the glory of God so that we could see His presence and see His glory and follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why was this important? Because that's where the glory of God resided. Hear me today. I don't want God to be moving somewhere and my family be facing the wrong way. I don't want God to be moving and me not be aware of where He is going. Don't go to sleep on me today. I've got something I need to say. I want to make sure that my family is seeing the direction and facing the direction that God is moving. Revelation 3:22, talking about the last days and the end time. The Lord said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches." Hear me today. You and I must get sensitive to the house of the Lord and to the voice of God and what God is saying in this hour. The gates of the tabernacle faced toward the east. In Ezekiel's tabernacle, it had an eastern gate on it. Solomon's temple had a gate at the east side of the temple. You and I must be ready, because one day our God is going to step out on an eastern cloud coming back for His church. And when Solomon prayed over the dedication of his temple, he said, "If diseases come because they have wandered away from you," we've all wandered away from Him. We've all had our times when we have wandered from the grace and the goodness of God. We've all had our times where we were facing the wrong way. We've all had our times when we walked away from the direction of God. And Solomon said, if the heavens dry up and drought overtakes us, if they will come into the house of the Lord and pray, then you'll open up the gates of heaven again and send the rain. And if they're carried away in captivity because they lost their direction and they lost their focus on you, God, if they will turn back to you, there you will meet them again. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. There is power when you and I decide to turn back to God. Whichever way they are going, if they will turn back to Jerusalem, if they will turn away from the world and look to the church. Let me ask somebody a question in here today. What took you out of walking with God? What led you from living for God and the house of God? What is it that has your attention so captivated until it became more important than your relationship with God? I read a story about an elder man walking down a country road. He rounded a corner. He noticed something in the distance. There was no one out there, just him and nature. He could hear the birds. And when he rounded the corner, it became deathly silent. And he looked and he saw something on the edge of the road and began to watch. And he realized as he walked upon it that it was a little bitty bird sitting on the ground. And that bird had been locked in to the snare or the stare of a snake. And that bird was literally just staring at that snake, or the snake was staring at the bird, and the bird had been so captivated by the stare of the snake until he didn't realize that he was in danger of his life being taken from him because of the stare of the snake. And so the man watched that just for a moment. He realized, if that bird's going to live, I'm going to have to do something. So he did everything that he could to get the attention of the bird, to shoo the bird off, because the bird had been captivated by the stare of the serpent. And I have come this morning to just get you attention. What has your mind so locked in until you are letting it affect your walk with God? I want to shout to you this morning, turn around! Turn around! Turn around! It matters which way you are going this morning. Come on, let's worship the Lord just a moment. Matthew 24:13 says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Hear me this morning. It just said endure to the end. It didn't say he that learns how to prophesy, he that learns how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, he that learns how to give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. It didn't say he that prays 20 hours out of the day. He didn't say those that fast all day, every day. He said, if you'll just endure to the end, if you'll just endure to the end, I'll make sure you're saved. What is it that has captivated you, that has turned you away from... It doesn't matter how long you've been living for God or filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't you dare stop relying on the Word of God to direct your life. Don't stop relying on your daily prayer time. If that has slipped up in your life, I know this church is not praying the way it needs to be praying, because there is way too much carnality in this church. I feel it in my spirit, and we need to do something about it. But hear me today. It does not matter how long you've lived for God. You cannot walk away from your daily time with the Word of God. You cannot walk away with your daily time of praying every day. You cannot walk away from your commitment. It matters which way you are going. Don't stop facing the house of God. I need thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. We need to get that down in our spirit. I need thee, Lord. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Come on, somebody. You need to get a hold of that nail-scarred hand again and say, God, turn me back. Turn me back to you, God. I can't lose my way. I can't lose my focus, and I cannot lose my direction. Joshua made one of the most powerful statements, and it fits so well in our society today. In Joshua 24:15, he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served." He was in a debate with them, because they thought now serving God was not really what they wanted to do. They wanted to be like every other nation. Give me a king. Give me idols to worship. Let me be to my own devices. And Joshua just said, if it's evil to you to do that, then you choose what you're going to do, whether it be the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites. If you want to idol worship, you go do what you're going to do in whose land you dwell. But as for me, and my house. But as for me and my house, somebody needs to get that mindset that, but as for me and my house, you do what you want to do. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to walk in the right direction. We're going to keep our focus on the King of Kings. We're going to make sure that we are saved. He said, my wife, my children, my family, my grandbabies, that's where we're going. We're pointing. Well, let's just point east. We're going that way. We're going where the glory of the Lord is. We're going where the favor of God is. We're going where the cloud moves. Wherever the cloud moves, my wife and my babies and my grandchildren, we're going to go follow that. We don't want this thing, this world and the things of this world. We don't want the God of the Amorites. We are going to serve the Lord. Today is my 11th year anniversary as pastor of Hope. Hear me today. It matters which way we're going. The Bible said the Israelites had a standard over them. It identified them. It was their mark. It was their flag. Let me tell you something. Anybody who sees you knows what you are. Now, some of us men, it may be a little different. They'll have to hear us and listen to our words and watch our actions and look at the fruit that we're bearing. But you ladies, they automatically know who you are. They know. They know who you are automatically. They don't have to ask, well, is that what you... They know who you are. They had this standard over them. They had this identifying signet. They had a flag, basically. You know, this right here, it shows that we're all Americans in here. I hope you still believe in America. We don't have to believe in its government. We have to believe in this nation. They had a flag over them. It identified who they were, but they were all given their position and their place. They had a standard that was over them. This is where you got to be. I want you in this direction. It's important which way you're going. So I want Judah right here at the gate, and I'm going to put the Levi up in here, and Moses is going to be here, and Aaron and his boys, the Levites, are going to be in there, and I want Judah over here, and I want Issachar, and I'm going to put them all around him, because it was important which way they were going. But if you ever wander away and sin takes you away, no matter how far you are, it doesn't matter how far you've walked away. Like the prodigal son, if you come to yourself, say there's help in the Father's house. So I ask you again, one more time. What is it that has you so focused until you can't live for God? The Bible says the Israelites got to the place where they didn't even retain God in their knowledge. And we think, oh man, that's such a horrible thing. But we've done the same thing. When I was a backslider, don't talk to me about church. Don't talk to me about the Bible. Don't show me what the Word of God is. Don't point to me a sign of the times. Don't invite me to the house of God. Why? I don't want to retain him in my knowledge. I was the same way as a backslider. The Israelites got to the place where they didn't even want to, and we think, oh, that's a horrible thing to do. But some of us do the exact same thing because we're focused on everything but God and the purpose of God, and we're following in the wrong direction. I've just come to tell you today, wherever you're going, if you're going in the wrong direction, turn around. God said, if they will turn to me, I will gather them back home again. Let me just tell somebody in here, you haven't gotten so far away that the arm of God cannot reach you. God's mercy doesn't apply to our lives based on how good we are. God's mercy doesn't apply to my life just because I'm a preacher. God's mercy doesn't apply to my life because I'm fourth generation, fifth generation Pentecostal. I'm fourth generation Pentecostal. I think I'm right on this. I'm fourth generation Pentecostal. If I am fourth, I'm either third or fourth, but I believe I'm fourth. My mom will straighten me out when I call her this evening. But if I am fourth generation Pentecostal, my boys are fifth generation Pentecostal, and my grandbabies, they don't know it yet, even though I baptize them in Jesus' name to the angst of people in their life. But they're fifth generation. They're sixth generation Pentecostal. God's mercy is not extended to me just because I'm a fourth generation Pentecostal. God's mercy is not extended to me because I've tried my best to follow God and walk with God and let God use me and be a vessel for the honor of God. God's mercy is not extended to me just because of my last name or where I came from or my background or who my pastor was in the past or what I've done or what I haven't done. God's mercy is not based on any of that. God's mercy is just God's mercy. You can't get past the reach of God's mercy. You can't get past the arm of God's mercy. You can't get past the reach of His grace. You can't get past the arm of His grace. It is extended to you and I. So if you're going the wrong way, would you please just turn around? Would you please get out of the snare of the snake until you find your way back? Come on, somebody. If you're backslid or cold in your spirit, please turn back to Him. Please walk again with Him. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. Would you worship God in this place? Would you worship God?